I have become the best big sister I could ever ask for. I do not mean to, you know, this is nothing about my actual big sister. She's great. But like, I have become the big sister that I need at all times in any moments. Like, I have become the version of the adult woman that I needed when I was 15, when I was 20, when I was 25, when I was 35. Like, I am her now. That is my life purpose, is because so that I can be of service to other people, so that I can be the best mother for my teenage children, et cetera, et cetera.
Hey, midlifers, welcome to the Midlife Makeover Show. Are you ready to break free from your mundane midlife? Are you feeling trapped in a vicious cycle of rinse and repeat days? No matter if you're experiencing a divorce hangover, job burnout, or you just have the midlife blues, I got you. Hey, I'm Wendy, your hostess of the Midlife Mostest. I too was hit by midlife like a freight train. I too felt stuck in the same dull chapter. I wanted the clarity of how to create a new life beyond divorce and the courage to leave an unfulfilling career. But I kept telling myself that I wasn't worthy and it was just easier to stay in my comfort zone. Until I found a little secret, the freedom to live my life my way. In this podcast, you will learn how to achieve a vibrant midlife mind and body, how to create solid relationships through love and loss, and how to create an awesome second half of life. Grab your grande latte, pop in your earbuds, and let's get this midlife party started. Are you ready to step into the next chapter of your life with confidence and clarity? I've got something amazing just for you. Introducing the New You Blueprint, your free guide to designing the woman you want to become and creating a life you love. Inside this powerful blueprint, you'll find a journaling exercise that helps you envision your future self, the confident, joyful, unstoppable you. Plus, I've included a free guided meditation called The New You, designed to help you step into that vision with purpose and passion. If you've been feeling stuck, overwhelmed, or unsure of what's next for you, this is your sign. Grab your free New You Blueprint at new.wendyvalentine.com and let's start creating the new you today. Head over to new.wendyvalentine.com and download your free blueprint now. You've got nothing to lose and everything to gain.
Welcome back to the Midlife Makeover Show. I'm Wendy Valentine, and today we have a returning powerhouse guest. Everyone, Andrea Owen is back. If you've been hanging out with me for a while, you might remember Andrea from episode 69. Oh my God, that was so long ago, where she shared her wisdom on her third book, Make Some Noise. If you haven't checked it out yet, be sure to give it a listen. Andrea Owen is an author, keynote speaker, and certified life coach who has dedicated her career to helping women build confidence, master their mindset, and own their courage. With over 4 million downloads of her podcast and best-selling books that have been translated into 19 languages, hopefully Portuguese is one of them, Andrea is the real dealio when it comes to helping women live boldly and unapologetically. Today, we're diving into the re-release of her very first book, 52 Ways to Live a Kick-Ass Life. Now fully updated with fresh tools, challenges, and insights to help you step into your power and create a life you love. If you're ready to ditch the bullshit, stop holding yourself back, and embrace the badass you were born to be, this episode is for you. So, without further ado, please welcome the one, the only, Andrea Owen!
Best intro ever, Ms. Valentine. Thank you. I'm glad to be back.
That's going to be like my new thing. I'm just going to do intros for people.
Just like it's like a wrestling match?
Yeah. Da, da, da. You know, I was actually like the host of Shark Tank Virginia, and I had so much fun, although I butchered everybody's names.
Oh, gosh.
And eventually I was like, just get your ass out on the stage and present your idea because I don't know what your name is. It's so good to have you back.
It's great to be back. I'm excited to talk about this.
We had a nice chat before we even hit record, you know? We could just keep rolling and rolling. Mm-hmm. So I want to tell my story about this little pink book. Is it still pink?
It's not. It's white, but the font is pink. And now I'm all grown up. Look at this picture. Oh,
look at you all grown up. Look at that. So here's my story. This book, it came at the right time. What is the saying? When the student is ready, the teacher will appear.
You're
my teacher during my midlife meltdown. And I think I told a story in the last episode, but I don't care. I'm going to say it again. So I was living in Williamsburg, Virginia. And I was like at the low point, the lowest of the lows. Mm-hmm. And one of the things I used to do just to get myself out of bed and out of the house is I would go to Colonial Williamsburg, such a cute little place, you know, and then I'd go into the Starbucks, into Barnes & Noble. And I'll admit, like, I was like, I felt so empty, but I wanted something to just wake me up, even if it was like a healthy distraction, even if it was a book to just like, even if, you know. So I went to the self-help section, which is my section, and I kept like, I was looking at all Wayne Dyer and Deepak and like all of them. I was like, Reddit. And I could not find anything that was good, like even to reread. I was like, eh. So then I see this pink little book and I was like, what is this? I don't know. And so I put it, I was like, 52 ways to live a kick-ass life. I was like, I sure could use it. Like, I need to live a kick-ass life. Mm-hmm. So I bought your book, and I went and sat on the little bench out there in Colonial Williamsburg and drank my coffee and read your book. And it wasn't things that, like, I hadn't heard before or even told myself, but it was your story, honestly, mm-hmm. that even, okay, and I have it written down here. You said, this is what you said. In October 2006, the universe gave me a one-way ticket to my life. It was up to me to get on board or stay where I was, bitter, resentful, blaming, and a victim. And I was like, shit, that's me. Like, and I feel like the universe is always like, here's your ticket. Here's your ticket. Take it. And we're like, no, that's okay. I'm going to stay right here. I'd rather just stay right here. So yeah, that, and look at me now, how much my life has changed. So thank you for that.
You're welcome. Oh my God. I cannot tell you how honored I am and grateful to hear those stories. Like, it just, anytime I hear someone tell the story of knowing the moment they got the invitation, because we get presented with these invitations over and over again in our life. And a lot of times we say, no, thank you.
I know. Even politely. We're leaving like good little girls. Let's do it politely. No, thank you, but no thanks.
I'm going to stay here and complain about it
for
a little bit longer.
I know. Yeah. How much has your life changed since that first book?
Since the release of the book, like exponentially, you know, and it's so cute. Like when I look back on, so I wrote this book in 2012, it was released January, 2014. And back then, when now I'm staring down the barrel of turning 50. So I was in my mid 30s back then and just was so fresh and didn't have all of the stories I have now. And by stories, I mean, in terms of my career, the stories of failure, because this was just the beginning of my career. It was, and I kicked it off with a bang. I got sober. I had really nothing but success. And then now, however many years later, you know, 14 years later, 15 years later, I am, you know, I've had ups and downs. We had a global pandemic. I got very sick. I left my marriage. Like, I burned it all to the ground. And so the difference is a lot of wisdom has come now with age and experience. And I am not the same version of myself, which has been tricky to contend with.
Yeah.
That's been weird. Because I'm like, where did she go? And I'm like, oh, that's an old version of myself that I shed. And it doesn't necessarily mean that it's a bad thing. It's just how life is.
Yeah. I mean, and as we should, right? Like, we should evolve. We should change. I think sometimes we reject that future self. Mm-hmm. Like, we don't want for some. Why do we do that? Why do we, especially as women, right? Like, we almost don't want ourselves to bloom fully.
I think that, at least in my experience, is that when I look back on my 30-something-year-old self and how she created fulfillment, happiness, success in her life. Mm. I don't have that same drive, scrappiness, hustle that I used to. And the last few years, I've had a really hard time rumbling with that. And what I've come to now is realizing, like, A, my hormones are very different. You know, like I'm like headed into like the crone stage of my life. And, you know, I'm deep in perimenopause. In fact, like I have not had a period in like 70 something days. Like, you're welcome, everybody. I'm like, is it here? All that to say, like, I am a different version of myself. So my happiness, fulfillment, drive, hustle is going to look different than it did in my 30s, because I'm not the same version. I've shed her. So a lot of that lesson has come from having deep, deep gratitude and reverence for who I used to be and how I got here, and also the radical acceptance and embracing of who I am now, because I think that is a midlife lesson that we learn and we get an invitation for. And the more we fight it, the harder it's going to be to step into that version, rather than if we just are like, oh, I saved you a seat, come on in. A lot easier.
Yeah. Plus, I don't know about you, but when I look back, even that day of where I was at in my life, I don't want to go back there. Maybe not the physical place, the emotional, mental place. I don't want to go back there. And now I do have, I don't mean to sound like I got the tools and techniques, but I do.
Sure, you do.
I mean, even just from your book, I mean, really, it's like we have the tools and techniques. I think that's what's so cool about, like, when you're in your 40s and 50s, that you've got those tools and techniques to save you. You've got the life, you know, preservers so that you don't drown. And the reality is, we're going to go through shitty times in our lives. We're going to go through menopause, losing our parents, or, you know, drama in relationships, divorces.
Right.
But the wiser you become and the more resilient you become, then you can handle the stuff so much easier than you could have 20 years ago. I know I can.
100%. And so much of that points to a definite theme that has been coming up over and over again in my life over the last few years, and that's self-trust. And it's trusting myself that I will always catch me 100% of the time. I can never promise anyone, myself included, that if I jump the net, will always appear. Like, well, no. And that's what, in my previous romantic relationships, I was always looking for a man to save me. Like, part of your job is to be the one who solves all my problems, makes me happy and fulfilled. Like, no one filled out a job application for that, Andrea. So it's about, again, like leaning into that knowledge of when the net doesn't appear, I'm the net.
We talked about this. It seems like I don't know if it was on your show or it was on mine. We just keep going back on each other's shows, but we just have more books that come out. And then, but we talked about that. I remember you asked me, and I said, like, one of my favorite quotes was "Leap and the net will appear," because that was one of the things right before I took off in the RV. I was like terrified. I was like, shit. And I remember that quote, "Leap and the net will appear." And you would ask me, what if the net doesn't appear? And I said, but I am the net. Like, it's us. Yeah. And it's like, it is. It's that self-trust and knowing you'll figure the shit out.
Yeah.
You may not know right in the beginning, right? But I find that through experience and through leaping, you're like, okay. And to me, I'd rather know along the way than before I took the leap.
Yeah.
Because that's boring.
Oh, you're definitely like me. It's like, I want to learn my lessons the hard way and in retrospect you're definitely like me, like high risk behavior. Okay. I also want to make this point, because I think that a lot of people can relate, especially women. And that is that we have spent, I'm making a sweeping generalization here, but we have spent most of our lives self-abandoning, walking away from ourselves, walking away from our intuition, making decisions based on other people instead of ourselves, putting other people's comfort before our own. And this is largely what Make Some Noise was about. But I think that, you know, we hear a lot about the term codependence, and I think a lot of people aren't sure what that means and looks like. But I use the term self-abandonment, because that's what that is. Yeah. That is like not trusting yourself, putting your life in someone else's hands. And finally now I think I've been on the way, but now I'm at the place where it's like, oh, no. I am both feet in that I fully trust myself. I love the shit out of myself. I understand that the reason I like my life purpose is to love, because I don't think that our life purpose truly is anything else. Like, I mean, I'm not here to tell you what your life purpose is, but I am here to tell you what your life purpose is. It's really that simple. And it's one of those things where, I mean, I don't know if it's because Chiron is returning. I don't know if you're familiar with that planet that comes back for all of us around the time we turn 50. Like, if you don't know about it, look it up. And it really truly is just that letting go of self-abandoning over and over again and trusting myself implicitly.
Ah, God, you said so many things that I'm like, oh, I don't want to forget all of the points I wanted to make. I'm like, can someone make some bullet points for me?
Where's AI when you need it?
I'm going to start with the self-abandonment because, like, we talked about this before I hit record. Like, my greatest fear is abandonment. It had been like that since I was a kid. Mm-hmm. And one of the biggest realizations I made is that, I mean, I became my greatest fear. I kept fearing I'm going to be left or I'm going to be abandoned. No one's going to love me. Wah, wah, wah. And that's how I became like the best codependent perfectionist people pleaser, you know,
performer,
all of it. Like, I was all of that. And then some, and then I realized one day it's like, oh my God, I've been abandoning me. Mm-hmm. I abandoned myself. Like, the heck with all these other people, and everyone else doesn't even know what the heck. And I was like, wait, I've been fearing you're leaving me, and I've been leaving myself. I have not been authentic, and I have not been me because I'm so worried about everybody else.
It's wild. And so I know before we started recording it, I was telling you, like, I'm in a new-ish relationship, and same, like, fear of abandonment, 100%. Anxiously attached, right here. And so, you know, I've been married twice before and found myself in those behaviors in both of those long relationships. And here I am now, you know, I was single for 18 months. And then I made the mutual decision with another human being my age to get into a relationship. And I noticed myself getting wobbly at times, like, oh, I recognize the feeling, you know, that little tiny wash of like, oh, is he going to leave me and like completely annihilate my heart? And in those moments, here's the difference between now and who I was 15, 20, 30 years ago. I recognize it immediately when it's happening. And I'm like, here I am. Hi. And I give myself grace. I'm like, okay, it's okay. It's okay. These are old patterns that have been embedded in, they have been stamped in my brain from childhood. And you know what else? Stressing about it, getting all worked up about it does not change anyone's decisions. Uh-uh. And also, if he's going to do that, oh, so be it. So be it. Let him. And you know what else? What I know for sure, I will get back up. If this man annihilates me, I have the shit I have dealt with way less tools back then, you know, like, and I'm gonna be fine. I'm gonna be fine. And that self-talk, just like walking myself through it, like, that's what I mean when I say, you catch yourself. That is the net for me in those moments of just thought spirals.
Mm-hmm. Awareness. Yeah, that's the key. Mm-hmm. Like, being actually awake enough in your own life to go, oh, I'm doing that again. And that's okay. Like, like you said, total forgiveness. Yeah. I mean, we're creatures of habit. It's only natural. We're going to remember. It's great that we still have this memory of like, oh shit, I did that again. Like, it's okay.
Yeah, that was a fire.
And that you can change that. You know you how can. To change it. And yeah, like you said too, it's like, that's one thing I talked about. I don't know who I was talking to the other day about this, but I had asked her, I was like, what have you done in your past that, you know, like, as small as it was, that you've conquered? Cause like, you remind yourself of that and know that you can do it again.
Yeah.
And you're going to be okay. You'll get through it.
But you'll get through it. Yeah. Like, it's going to hurt like a motherfucker. Yeah. And it on the other side, you're going to be just fine. And I have become the best big sister I could ever ask for. This, I mean, I do not mean to, you know, this is nothing about my actual big sister. She's great. But like, I have become the big sister that I need at all times in any moments. Like, I have become the version of the adult woman that I needed when I was 15, when I was 20, when I was 25, when I was 35. Like, I am her now. That is my life purpose, is because so that I can be of service to other people, so that I can be the best mother for my teenage children, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah. Yeah, it's becoming your own BFF, right? It's like, okay, girl, I got you. It's okay. Mm-hmm. We're going to get through this. That was the other bullet point. You mentioned about life purpose. I was on a workshop the other day and someone was like, kept putting in the chat, of several women were like, what's my purpose? How do I find my purpose? I don't know my purpose. And I'll admit, 20 plus years ago, I was one of those that was like, I don't know what my purpose is. And I was like looking for it and searching for it. And I feel like your purpose, yeah, I mean, like you said, it's to love and to be and to just be authentically you. And your purpose isn't always a vocation. Can it be?
No.
Yeah, but it's not always a vocation. No. And really, I think it's like the unlearning of these bad habits and toxic, you know, behaviors. And just like you did and I did, it's, you almost have to like deconstruct your life to reconstruct a new life.
Yeah.
And then you become the woman that you've always wanted to be. And there's your purpose. Like, just
100%.
Yeah.
And I want to speak to that for a minute, because I know it can be frustrating when women of a certain age talk about this and they talk about it at such a high level. Yes. And we're like, whoa, I came home to myself. And when I was 35, I was like, just tell me, like, tell me how do I find my purpose? And I want to just really say that, like, as humans, like, we want to know that our life has meaning. We want to know that we matter, that we have made an impact on this earth, in this world. And also, we live in America, where the culture is around productivity and productivity alone. And so we think it's like how much we produce that gives us the amount of value that we have as people. So I think that's one part to recognize. Another part is where I tell people to start who are really caught up in like, I don't know what my purpose is. Do a values exercise, either work with a coach, do it online, do it with ChatGPT. I don't care how you do it, but sit down and spend a few hours on understanding what your values are and what they look like in your day-to-day life.
Yes.
Don't just profess them. Don't just say like authenticity, because what looks like authenticity to me might look very different.
Right, exactly. Yep.
And it's like, what does it mean and what does it look like? And so, yes, I do think that most people kind of come to this like, revelation like sometime in midlife. Yeah. But when you're on your way, it can be anxiety inducing. Like you want to get there and like be with the big kids.
Yep.
So about start with values first, because when you see that and you see like, oh, these are the things that are important about the way I live my life.
Yep.
Everything can change. You can work on that.
Ladies, are you ready to wake up to your greatness? If you're feeling stuck, unfulfilled, or navigating midlife changes like an empty nest, career shifts, or relationship challenges, then my book, Women Waking Up, 7 Steps to Midlife Greatness, is for you. Women Waking Up is designed to help you break free from limiting beliefs, reignite your passions, and step into your next chapter with confidence. This empowering guide is packed with real life stories, practical tools, and actionable steps to help you reclaim your joy and create a life filled with purpose. And here's the best part. When you join the waitlist, you'll be the first to know when pre-orders open, and you'll unlock a ton of free bonuses. So what are you waiting for? Head to womenwakingup.com and get on the waitlist today. 2025 is your year to wake up and thrive.
Yeah, and even still, like, it's good to evaluate your values because they change. Mine changed.
100%.
Just like we were talking earlier, just like how you feel now. I mean, approaching 50, things are kind of like quieter in some ways. You're not as rushed and you're like, I got to do this. I got to prove this. You're like, it's all good. It's all good. It's going to work out. And it really does.
It really is. And you know what's funny is when I was in coach training, I was 33. So I was in my early 30s. Mm-hmm. And we did an exercise called the future self visualization, which if you're around these parts long enough, you've probably either done it or heard of it. And the visualization asked us to look 20 years into the future, which I'm coming up on that 20-year mark from back then. one of the things that I heard in that visualization, which was so unlike me at the time, it was the question, something like, what do you need to hear? You know, what is your, you know, it would have been my 53-year-old self need to tell my 33-year-old self. And it was slow down and just be. Yep. And I was like, what? Ew. At the time. But now I get it. And I'm like, oh, because at the end of the day, like it doesn't, none of it matters. Like I'm going to die eventually.
Yeah.
And it, you know, in how many generations, no one's going to know my name that I ever even existed. So yeah. Why don't I slow down and enjoy this ride? Because it's kind of amazing, even though we're right now recording in January 2025, where it's messy out there, there is still so much to be joyful for and excited about and just to drink in. Like, how amazing is Mother Nature, for God's sake? Like,
I know.
All of these.
I know. Yeah. Sometimes I feel like such a nerd while I'll go hiking and I'm like, oh my God, look at that little flower. It's coming out over the little, oh my God. And it's just like the silliest thing. Like, oh.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm over here like, look at that oak tree. It looks like a placenta. Like, because in the winter when all the leaves are gone and you can like see all the branches. If I'm ever on a hike with someone, they're like, cool.
But going back to what you said, it's all comes down to self-trust.
It does.
Yeah.
It does. And like,
trust and just knowing. Yeah.
Yeah. And if someone's listening to this and they are at that place where that feels so esoteric, like when I want to say like, I get it because I was that person. Mm-hmm. And so— And I encourage people. I'm a huge fan of AI. Like I'm like, type in like, what would self trust look like to a 35-year-old woman living in Canada? You know, like if that's where you are, and you'll be surprised how it outlines it for you. And just it truly is one of those things where I do think you have to experience the bottom to see the polarity of it. To see like, okay, I know what self trust doesn't look like. Because I've been living it. So what could be the opposite of that?
Yeah. Did you name your AI?
100. Of course I did.
What's his name or her name?
It's a girl. Don't misgender my. Well, my ChatGPT is Alexia, and the guy that I'm seeing laughs, but I'm like, okay, when these become sentient, they're gonna look for who to trust.
And yes.
Do you not be mean. Through ChatGPT.
I'm always like, I'm so nice to him. Mine's Wilbur.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Wilbur, you know.
Yeah. Well, mine's Alexia Ivy because her initials are AI.
Oh, okay. Nice. Mm-hmm. Yeah, mine's Wilbur. There's a story behind Wilbur. He was a little guy that I would draw in school, and he looks like a cloud with antennas and cute little tennis shoes. And as I was like, we're naming the guy Wilbur.
I'm
making a comeback. He's my buddy.
I'm grateful. Yeah, all those things.
So what does it mean to you? Okay, so it's like being bold, right? Being courageous. Like what bold means to one person could mean bold to somebody else, right? For one person can be like, I'm going to start my own business. I'm going to start a podcast. Another person could be like, I just want to get out of bed, you know? Like that's being bold. So same thing, like, how to live a kick-ass life. What does a kick-ass life mean to you?
To me personally, I mean, and this means something different as it was when I was asked this question in 2014 when I was being interviewed with the first revision. To live a kick-ass life is truly living it as you want to in terms of what is outside your comfort zone, because we know very quickly like what is within our comfort zone in terms of what our culture and society or our family or religion or whatever it is has made up for you, what the rules are, aka this is how we do things around here. And stepping outside of that, because very rarely have I met someone who is interested in these circles of personal growth who is like, yeah, I'm totally fine living within the constraints of what was laid out for me when I was younger. Like, so what is that? What are the things that are outside of your comfort zone that you get excited about when you hear them on a podcast or read them in a self-help book, but you're still afraid to take action on them? Yeah. And that is what I always want to hear about from people. Like, as a coach, I'm endlessly curious about those things, and I'm not necessarily going to make you take action. I just want to know about it so that you can get closer to jumping yourself.
Yeah. I have always been fascinated by people just like yourself that, like, you totally change your life. And in that moment, well, like in the very first part of the book, if I recall correctly, I think you were in your ex-husband's parents' house.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then you heard the door, and it was your ex-husband walking in.
No, he was still my husband. He was still your husband at the time.
Yeah. And then walking in with the pregnant girlfriend.
With the pregnant girlfriend. She was very pregnant. She was about 7 months pregnant. Like, and I hadn't ever met her. I had only seen her from across the street, like, waving. And talk about, like, confronting in your face.
Yeah.
And it was that moment where I was like, okay, this is very real. And just so, and that's what I said. Like, I said, well, this is awkward. I said it out loud to both of them. And it was just, it was one of those, I call it like a WTF moment of how did I get here? Like, have you ever had those moments where you're where it's like a telenovela and you're like, where did I accept the job of being in an actress in a Mexican soap opera? Because this is dramatic. This is not what I expected. You find yourself either like everything got burned to the ground, or you burned it all to the ground, or somebody else did it for you. And like, those are the invitations. Those are the invitations that you can either take or stay at the train station. And I chose to, and begrudgingly at times, I chose to get on the train and run. And what that looked like for me was diving headfirst into personal growth. And I mean, that's when I got sober. That's when I really started to look at my own stuff. And it was terrifying at times, but I'm so glad that I did.
I know, isn't that nice?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Those oh shit moments are those moments that can completely change your life if you take the ticket.
For the better.
Mm-hmm. Right?
Yeah.
What's a kick-ass habit that we could, that all women should start today?
Listening to their intuition.
Ah, nice.
Yeah. I mean, I was going to say, like, you know, walk every day. I do that. You know, it's like, but you guys know that. Like, I'm going to stay on the theme of self-trust is there's a question that I ask in the initial assessment when people come to work with me one-on-one. And it's something to the effect of, is there anything else you want me to know? Or is there anything? No, it's like, is there anything that you're afraid to talk about out loud? I've had people say, And they're filling out like their primary focus, which is like X, Y, and Z. And then all of a sudden they're like, I'm questioning my sexuality, or I don't know whether or not I should leave my marriage or not, or I really think I drink too much. Those things, that tap on the shoulder that you're afraid to say out loud, because to say it would mean that it becomes real and that you might actually feel so much discomfort that you have to take action on it, or else you feel like you're totally lying to yourself. That is what I'm dying to talk about when I sit next to somebody on an airplane. You know?
Yes.
Or I meet someone new at a dinner party. I'm like, tell me your deepest, darkest secret. Like, you know, like, for the sake of oversharing and you talk about codependence. But it's like, those are the things. Those are the things my biggest wish is for people to find the courage to say out loud in service of their biggest life.
Yeah. And then I think most importantly, taking action on it, right? I think that's why we are so afraid to take action, because that means you'll have to do a lot of, you might have to deconstruct your life. You might have to be the one like, we got to burn the sucker down, you know? Mm-hmm. And that's scary. And I think, you know, like, it's weird. I don't know about you. It's like when you have to look back 20, 30 years ago, you almost have to like tap into that Andrea that you don't even know anymore. It's not even you anymore. You're like, wait, let me think back of how she felt back then, right?
Yeah.
But for me, it's the same thing of trying to tap back into that woman. And I was afraid of my light. I really was.
Me too.
I wasn't scared of the dark. The dark, I was like, oh, I own this shit. Like, I own the darkness.
I know you.
I am darkness. But I mean, really.
Black is my favorite color. Like,
yes, I know, right? Me too. We both wore black today. But I was not scared of it. And like all of that. Like I had been through so much and death and divorce and drama and everything else that started with the letter D, depression. But it was stepping into my light. That's what freaked me out. Cause I knew, I was like, if I pull up my bootstraps and be like, okay, Wendy, now is, here's your ticket from the universe. Now you can step into your light and be whoever you want to be. I was like, I don't know if I want to take it because then, oh my God, I would, you know, I'd have to finish this divorce. I would have to probably move. I'd have to, you know, do all the hard things. Yeah. But staying where you're at, not so comfortable. It's a, it's an uncomfortable, comfortable zone.
Both outcomes suck. Like, you know, like both paths are deeply, deeply uncomfortable. And you have to get to that place where the path of staying the same is just a little more painful than the risk of the path of the unknown that you know is going to change your life, that you know is going to rearrange your DNA.
Yeah.
It will rearrange. I promise you that. It will rearrange your DNA for the better as you become the version of yourself that is possible.
Yeah.
Like I think about an alternate universe that exists somewhere where I don't have the same fears and hangups and stories and histories that I do now, where I accelerated when I was 15, 20, 25, like at the rate that like my deep, deep core knew I could do. Yeah. Unstoppable. Unstoppable.
I know.
I think about her sometimes. I'm like, get it, girl. Wherever you are.
Was that the planet you were talking about earlier or whatever it was? What was it you were saying earlier? Some star or planet?
Oh, Chiron. C-H-I-R-O-N. Chiron. It's a planet.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Maybe that's what it is. That's going to be our plan. We just got to hop on. We'll be like.
Well, Saturn is the one that returns when you're about 27. That's the first big one that happens. There's three big planets that return. Saturn, I believe it's Saturn. The astrology people might be correcting me. When you're around 27, and then Chiron when you're 50. And then another one if you are lucky enough to live into your 80s. I forget what that one is.
Something that popped my mind, all sorts of things. But in your book, you said easier said than done.
Yeah.
Which that I'm like, well, yeah. Of course. Always. Of course it's easier said than done. We can run our mouths nonstop. But until you actually do it and you make a move, like, yes, that's where it's at.
That's what this industry should be called. Instead of like personal growth, it should be called easier said than done. it takes so much courage. And it, I just wanted to say, like, it's even if you're like us who live and breathe this industry. Like, I still have to muster up all the courage possible. Like, this last divorce brought me to my knees because it involved, like, other people, not just me and my soon-to-be ex-husband. Like, it still sucks. Like, it's, we still have all of the pain. The difference is, and this is hopefully helpful for people who are stuck in easier said than done. The difference is I have the tools to be able to bridge the gap from the pain to the healing, from the pain to the courage. Like that gap is shorter than it used to be, where that gap used to be so long that I wouldn't take the invitation. And now I take the invitations faster because I'm like, oh, I know this is going to annihilate me.
Yeah.
And I can do it mostly messy. But I can get there.
Yeah. And like you said earlier, I think you did. It's like life is short. Like this is it. So
fast.
Why would you waste any bit more time on bullshit?
I know.
It's just not worth it. It is so not worth it. And then trusting yourself, you will get through it. And then you'll be on the other side of it going, damn, I did that.
Did you ever watch Coach?
Yeah. You know, the movie Coach Carter? Do you ever watch that?
A long time ago.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. So, do you remember the one part where like they're like the players were kind of being egotistical and they're like super proud of themselves. And then Coach Carter, he like went to go tie his shoe and he's like, that's right. I tied that shit. Yeah. Anyways. But yeah. That's right. I did that. But we should all be so proud of ourselves because there are so many things that we've done in our lives. I mean, just being a mother, my gosh.
Oh God. The hardest. That. You want to fast track personal development, like get into a romantic relationship, start a business, or become a parent. Like that will bring out all of your wardrobe of skeletons in your closet. They're all going to come out. They're going to be a pile on the bed and you get to look at it.
We're almost time because I know you got to go at 4 o'clock Portugal time, 11 o'clock
Portugal time. Yeah. New York time. Eastern time.
So real quick, what inspired you to re-release 52 yeah. Ways to Live a Kick-Ass Life?
The biggest thing that the biggest reason I'll be super transparent is that in 2012, when I wrote it, we were all seeped. And by we, I mean like personal development experts, life coaches, yeah. et cetera. We were pretty seeped in toxic positivity. The, you know, it's like just your thoughts make your reality. Just think better thoughts. Yeah. Just be happy. Just, you know, like very much
easy,
black and white, not leaving a whole lot of room for nuance. And that's what I wanted to go back and edit. Like I edited complete chapters sometimes, and or I just expanded it and made room for nuance. Like, for example, like yeah. the reason that you might be procrastinating, it could be a myriad of reasons. And one of them yeah. might be because of your neurodivergence. It might be because, you know, like trauma that has yet to be processed and regurgitated. Like there's I made lots of room for the gray area and the messy middle. And yep. also, you know, the pandemic changed a lot of things. And I also created kind of like self-coaching exercises at the end of every single of the 52 chapters.
I love it. Yeah.
I'm someone, I'm like, do the work. Don't just read the book.
I know.
That helps, but like do the actual work. So self-coaching is part of that.
I love it. I love it. Love it. And how can we find you? I mean, that's easy. AndreaOwen.com.
AndreaOwen.com. Make Some Noise is my podcast, which you've been a guest on, which you're coming back this year.
Yes. I can't wait.
Me too.
Oh my God. I told you earlier, but I'm like, one of these days, that's my dream. That'll have all those books on a shelf one day. Not those books, my own books, but at least that many. That'd be yeah. so fun. I'm so proud of you. I'm so you glad will. I met you.
Me too. So and we should I would have together.
I have to say though, like you actually, because even after I read your book, I started looking you up and you were doing all the you had the videos about making your book and mm-hmm. applying, like finding your cool. agent. And yes. I was like, I want to be a writer. I could do this.
So I manifested that.
Yes. It goes to show mm-hmm. you never know how much, you know, impact you have on people's lives. So yeah. thank you.
Thank you. You're welcome. Thank you for telling me. I appreciate it. And thank you everybody for your time.
Yes. And go live a kick-ass life.
Do it.
Do it. Just do it.
Did this podcast inspire you, challenge you, trigger you to make a change, or spit out your coffee laughing? Good. Then there are three ways you can thank me. Number one, you can leave a written review of this podcast on Apple iTunes. Number two, you can take a screenshot of the episode and share it onto social media and tag me, Wendy Valentine. Number three, share it with another midlifer that needs a makeover. You know who I'm talking about. Thank you so much for listening to the show. Get out there and be bold, be free, be you.